Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
All right, I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 4 as we continue through the book of 2 Timothy, here starting the last chapter of this short epistle, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. How important is the preached word to you? It said in a story that in a British weekly called The Glass Window, there was this letter that was published. And it said this: it seems ministers feel their sermons are very important and spend a great deal of time preparing them. I have been attending church quite regularly for 30 years, and I have probably heard 3,000 of them. To my consternation, I discovered I cannot remember a single sermon. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitable spent on something else. For weeks, a storm of editorial response ensued, which was finally ended by this letter that said this: I have been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered I cannot remember the menu of a single meal, and yet I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago. I receive nourishment from every single meal. But how many of us think like the first guy, right? That we sermons would be better spent on something else. Some people think, I can just read my Bible. What do I need to sit under preaching? But is that true? Is that the testimony of Scripture? Now, certainly the Word has power, and so we read it. We should read it individually all the time. But there is something about the preached Word of God as well. Some people may even wonder, why don't we just get rid of preaching altogether, right? Can't we just learn as much from a film or from artwork or music? Can't we only just have discussion groups online? Now, surely some of those things can be helpful at times to help us to grow, but there's something special about the preached word of God. Why else would God say, preach the word? And this is because there is something special in the preached word. God has ordained it. God uses it to help us to understand a text deeper, to impress it upon our hearts more, to call us to action. And if you really think about it, it is truly a unique time, isn't it? Like, how often do we go somewhere week in and week out to hear someone talk? And not only just talk, but talk about the same book every week, right? It's a very unique time. Yes, we hear people talk during, you know, TED Talks or academic lectures or political speeches or stand-up comedy sets. But here's the thing. Preaching is not a TED Talk. Preaching is not a political speech. It is not an academic lecture. It is definitely not a stand-up comedy set. It is not merely for informational purposes. It's not for political causes. It's not here to make you laugh and entertain you. It is to equip you, to grow you, to mature you, to lead you into more godliness, to draw us all in, to lift our eyes up to Christ, to worship Him. And we do this as a church body, as a community, so that we're all, as Scripture says, led to be built up in Him. And so what this means is, if God has commanded, preach the word, we see this is important. It is something about it that God wants for us. And so it is an important part of our growth as Christians. And so that means if someone neglects sitting under the regular preaching of the word, they are missing an essential part of their Christian faith. God has made it this way. God has made a church and individual Christians as well to function and flourish under the Word of God, under the preached Word of God, and that is a big part of their Christian life, is to be a big part. And so that's why even he see here in 2 Timothy 4, he says, preach the Word. Let's read it. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So the main point is really simple, right? Preach the word. Not working this morning, but that's it. Preach the word. The word, of course, is the Bible, the scriptures. None other than the word of God. Preach the word of God. And to preach is to proclaim. To preach is really to announce. It's really this idea of heralding, right? Think of a herald just announces news. I'm proclaiming, I'm declaring news. And really, as a preacher, that's what I am. I am a proclaimer. I am a herald. And so this means I don't actually make up new truth, right? I don't make up new ideas. I am simply declaring what God has said to us. I am a messenger. I am a messenger who is broadcasting what the God of the universe has said to us. And so if you think about it, preach the word, it means preaching is not sharing advice. When I stand up here and I open the word of God and I preach, I am not sharing with you good advice. It is not good advice. I mean, of course, it is good advice, but it's not merely and only good advice, right? I'm not sharing it as one option among many, like a lecture explaining differing views. And though there is a place for discussion, preaching is not a discussion, it is a proclamation. I am proclaiming something. I am a proclaimer who I'm declaring what God has said. And so I am not an entertainer, I am not a philosopher, I am not a politician, I am not an idea innovator, I am a messenger, I am a proclaimer, a herald. And so preachers must preach, they must proclaim. They do not merely share good advice and say, well, this might be good for your life. No, they say, God has said this, and this is good for your life. That's the difference. And so we must preach, but we must actually what? Preach the word. So the sermon is not a good time to give opinions. It is not a time to rant on about current events or to talk about a popular book. In fact, I heard recently of a pastor who was actually planning on preaching his sermons based on Christian books. This will not do. Preaching is proclaiming the word. The word. Of course, Christian books can be helpful, right? If they are pointing us to the word. But the sermon is not the time. The sermon is proclamation time based solely on the word of God. And so Paul's command to Timothy is very clear. It's very straightforward, right? Preach the word. And imagine if more churches would follow that simple command. Because what happens is preach the word gets discarded and talk about other things gets puts in its place. Now what surrounds the main command is some things before and after it. Let's look at them. First, preaching the word is to be done by believing it is what it is. It is to be done by believing it is what it is. Now, you may be sitting there wondering, I'm looking at your text, and where do you get that? And that's a very good question, because you should always hold me up to, is this what the Bible says? And where I get this is actually from the previous two chapters from the last chapter, or previous two verses from the last chapter. You see, the chapter numbers and verses can be very helpful for us, but they can sometimes hinder our understanding of the Bible. Just so you know, the chapter verses and the chapters, numbers, and verses were not originally included, right? They're added later. And so, Paul just talked about Scripture is God-breathed, right? It is profitable. And now, right after that, he goes on to say, preach the word. So he's saying, like, in light of the fact that Scripture is the very Word of God. It is beneficial to us, so preach it, right? When you read it from the end of 3 into 4, that's essentially what we say. Hey, now preach it. It's so important. Just think of it this way. If a pastor believes that the Bible is God's Word and it is all that he needs, that all that his people need, how could he neglect it? How could he preach something else? If you truly believe this is God's Word, how could I not preach it? You see, the churches that preach the Word most faithfully are the churches that believe the Bible is what it is most deeply. The churches that preach most faithfully are those who believe the Bible is what it is most deeply. There is a direct link between someone's view of the Scriptures and someone's preaching. You show me that a church presents the Bible as only mere advice, and I can show you their view of Scripture as only mere advice. See the direct link. And so this is why so many churches are neglecting the command to preach the Word, because they don't actually believe fully this is God's very Word to us, and it is all that we need to for saving wisdom and for equipping power. And by God's grace, as long as I'm your pastor, you will always hear the Scriptures preached. May it never be said of us, hey, they preach on their opinions. No, they there at First Baptist preach the Word faithfully. And yes, we may be lacking in all the programs, but may we never be lacking in faithfulness to the Word of God, that the Word of God will be preached, because it's so vital. It is the God-breathed Scriptures. And so we see he commands Timothy to preach the Word, and he shows him that also it's to be done as before God. You notice that in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. So here we see Paul gives a very serious charge, right? He solemnly exhorts Timothy about the important and vital responsibility of preaching the Word. Meaning this is not to be taken lightly. You shouldn't just take it or leave it. It's not a take it or leave it issue. You shouldn't spend little time and attention. But this matter, preaching the Word, has utmost weightiness. And to be honest, whenever I walk into this pulpit, I can feel the seriousness of it. And I should feel the seriousness of it. Right? I should feel the weightiness of it. Because here's the thing, I am not speaking about the sports scores from last night. This is not a game. I'm not sharing my opinion in a crowd of like-minded enthusiasts about some hobby, right? This is God's very Word, and it impacts lives for eternity, right? It makes a difference. As we have learned in previous passages in 2 Timothy, how really teaching and preaching can actually lead people astray down this road of ruin. And so we see this is so important. It's God's very Word. And so I am not to take this lightly, but I do it as before God. Paul's charge to Timothy and to really any preacher is in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Talk about a serious charge. Imagine hearing that about what you're doing. Every preacher preaches in the presence of God himself. Every sermon is to be done as before a watching God who will judge. And so you cannot take this lightly, because God knows, God sees, God will judge whether I am being faithful to his Word, whether I'm actually preaching the Word. This preaching isn't hidden from his sight. It's not like he goes on vacation sometimes or sleeps sometimes. No, he always knows. He always sees. And this is so important for whatever we do. It's so important to remember this truth, because it's easy to have this temptation to slack off, right? Sort of like at your job, right? And the boss leaves for the day and the employee starts slacking off a little bit. Well, he's gone for the day. But when you know, no, he's always knowing. He's always seeing. It prompts you to say, no, this is serious. I must be careful with this. I must see this as important. I must know that God will judge me based on my faithfulness. James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Because we are leading people. Are we going to lead people astray or lead people to the truth? And that's why we're judged with greater strictness. But really, if you think about it, you look through the Bible, each of us is held accountable for what we do in God's service. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about whether we are home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And so as believers, we aren't judged and sent to hell, so our eternity isn't in the balance. But we are someday going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are accountable for, were you faithful with what you had? Did you steward the gifts of God? And we will be rewarded accordingly. And so we serve in light of a watchful Christ who will someday judge all. But we also serve in light of His appearing, His kingdom. He will come soon, and He will bring with it the completeness, bring everything to completion. And so we serve remembering He's coming soon. And that means He will judge and reward at that time. Right? There's throughout Scripture. Think about some of the parables, how you have to be alert, sober, watchful. He's coming soon, and so we don't slack off and being like that lazy servant. No, that means we should be alert and sober and working. Do you serve God knowing that it is before God? Do you serve as before God? So many Christians don't even consider this truth. So many act like God doesn't care whether they serve or when they serve or how they do it. It's easy to forget that God knows and sees everything. But we can't fool Him, right? No matter how many people in the church we can fool, how many people that we know that we can fool, He knows our heart. He knows our motivation, and He has called us to live for Him. Right? To live for Him, to be good stewards, no matter what service we have, whether it's preaching or serving the nursery or serving here or there, right? We're all to be stewards of whatever God has called us to do. We serve before God. One man, Hugh Latimer, knew this truth well. He's a Protestant reformer from the 16th century. And the story that once he was found that he had to preach before King Henry VIII of England. And as he thought about this great responsibility to bring this message before the king, he realized that the message God lay on his heart was not the message the king would want to hear. And so as he began his sermon, he said this, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you were speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII? Who has power to command you to be sent to prison, and who can have your head cut off if it please him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" But he paused and he continued, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before Him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before Him to whom one day you will have to give account to yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word." Hugh Latimer knew he served before God ultimately. Yes, we serve and other people, they see it. But ultimately, are we serving as before God, knowing God knows and God sees. And I must be faithful to whatever He has called me to do, to preach all of God's word or to serve in this way. I need to be faithful. But not only is preaching done before God, but it is to be done well. Not working today, but it's to be done well. Paul tells Timothy in verse 2, look, preach the word, be ready in the season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So here you see sort of Paul is telling Timothy how to preach, how he is to be preaching the word. And the first is with readiness. He says, be ready. The word really is stand by, right? So it's like Timothy always has to be on standby, always has to be on call, on duty. He should be ready to be used by God to speak God's word. Whether it's in season or out of season, he should be ready. And that in season, out of season idea is really when it's opportune or not, when it's convenient or not, whether it's favorable or not, whether the people want to hear the word or not, whether it's convenient for Timothy or not. Every opportunity should be taken, no matter how successful it looks, no matter how hard it seems. Because if you aren't available, you miss out on so many opportunities, don't you? If you're not available. And so the pastor has to be ready, has to be available, taking every opportunity to speak God's word to others. And we see that the pastor must preach being willing to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So he must boldly speak God's word. Don't shy away from the hard parts. He must fully speak God's word. That means reproving and rebuking and exhorting. And so let me tell you, if you want people to like everything you say, don't preach. Right? Because you're really preaching God's word. And at times it's hard to hear because God has to reprove and correct us. And so that means if the pastor is being faithful, he is using God's word and he's bringing these out. Hey, here's a reproof. Here's a correction. And so that's what's going on. He must reprove and correct because the scripture reproves and corrects. It said that John Wesley would ask his young men whom he sent out to preach on probation two questions. Has anyone been converted and did anyone get mad? If the answer was no, he said, I don't think you're called to the gospel, and he would send them about their business. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, people are either converted or they get mad. One of the roles of a pastor is to rebuke with truth. It's not fun, but it's necessary, right? We're called to do this. It says right here, reprove, rebuke. And so that means if you ever feel conviction under my preaching, any rebuke under my preaching, please know that you should not disregard this, because this means the scripture is doing it. We just learned the scripture reproves and corrects. It is the scripture itself that is reproving you, because what am I doing? Proclaiming what God has said. Declaring what he has said. Scripture exposes our sin for our good. It brings conviction. It leads us back onto that right road, as we learned last week. It's truly for our good. And so that means if my preaching ever steps on your toes, please know I'm not doing that just to be for fun, right? I'm not doing that. Let me step on their toes today. This will be fun. No, this is what I'm doing is I'm stepping on your toes because Scripture is stepping on our toes. And the preacher also exhorts, which means sort of encourages people to respond, encourages them to act. This is one of the ways that preaching is somewhat different than teaching, because what it does is it encourages and calls people to live differently, while teaching doesn't necessarily do that. But we see reproving and rebuking and exhorting have to be done with patience, right? Let me tell you, it takes great patience to preach to people, because you know what? All of us, me included, are slow learners, aren't we? You know, if there's someone up here preaching that's not me and I'm down there listening, I'm a slow learner too, right? I'm a slow learner as I'm studying and preaching to myself, right? We're all slow learners. And you need patience with slow learners. Because it can be the temptation to be impatient and give up. They aren't getting it. There's a temptation to become frustrated when you're working with a slow learner. But that's why we need patient preachers. One who bears with people. Right, who lovingly and patiently just continues to preach the word of God, knowing that God will do the work
Over time, the word does its work. And the results aren't usually instantaneous, right? But they take time. They take patience. And these things need patience, but also teaching. Meaning this, people don't just need rebuked. They need rebuked and taught, right? You don't just leave people in this rebuke stage, right? You rebuke them and teach them how to get back onto the right road. People need taught. They don't just need left floundering. You think about any parent really knows when you are training up your children, what's needed? Patience and teaching. Because if you're an impatient person, you will quickly see it in your parenting. It takes patience and teaching them the right way. Right? Because children do not get it the first time. They're going to mess up. They're going to need patience shown to them. They need someone to instruct them. And I'm not saying that you are children. Now, there are some children here, but I'm not saying that the adults are children. But it's the same principle, right? We need patience. All of us need patience as we talk to other people the Word of God, because we don't usually get it the first time. It takes this constant proclaiming and constant teaching that people are able to grow and to learn. And so preaching the word should be done well. Because think about it this way, an effective preacher cannot expect, or a preacher can't expect to be effective if he's unready, if he's unavailable. A preacher can't expect to be effective if he never reproves and rebukes and exhorts. A preacher can't expect to be effective if he is impatient, if he doesn't teach. And so Paul is showing us preaching should be done well. You need to remember these things. You need patience, and you need to teach, and you need to be ready and to take up the opportunities that are in front of you. And I pray that I would continue to do to grow in this area. I pray that you would continue praying for me as well. But fourthly, preaching the word is to be done with urgency. Urgency. Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Look there at verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So you see what he's saying. He's saying, preach the word, for the time is coming when people won't listen. And so he's saying, since more and more people will not want to hear the word preached, then you should be preaching it more. Keep preaching the word. Be faithful. Preach it. The more people turn away from sound teaching, the more sound teaching is needed. It is urgent that people hear the word of God. It is sound teaching. Really, this word is healthy. This is healthy, life-giving, healing teaching, growth. And so when you see more and more people turning away from sound teaching, it is not time to just give up. It is time to preach and preach and preach. We fight the tide of itchy ear syndrome with preaching, sound preaching. And so we don't let the trend of people turning away from sound teaching to cause us to be unfaithful to preaching, but we step it up. We preach and preach and preach the word. Because Paul says there's going to be a time when people will not endure sound teaching. And let me tell you, we are in that time. You see it everywhere. You see what's going on here. They have sound or healthy teaching spoken to them, but what's going on? They don't endure it. The people can't stand to have their lives lifted up to the rebuking word of God. They don't want to bear with it. They don't put up with it. They don't agree and accept it as true. Because sound teaching confronts them in their sin. It challenges them. And they don't want to endure that. They don't want to endure hearing that. Because the truth is, sound teaching is sometimes unpleasant to hear. It's difficult to hear because it confronts and exposes our sin. And in our pride, we don't want that. Like, who would want that? But we do because we know it's for our good. We know it's for our good. Because for those who are willing to endure the sword of the Lord, which pierces and discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart, we find healing and health and growth. For those who endure, they know that though it's convicting and though it's challenging, it's hard to hear at times, we know it's good, it's beneficial, because it is God's word. So what about you? Do you endure rebuke from the word of God? Do you endure the reproving, hard to hear at times, preaching of the word of God? Or are you someone who is easily offended at it, who rejects it, who gets mad at it? See, those who do not endure sound teaching are said to have what? Itching ears. And by itching ears, then, they accumulate teachers for themselves who say what they want them to say. That's what they do. To have itching ears means they're looking for something interesting and exciting to hear. They look for what they want to hear. It means they want their ears tickled and scratched, but they don't actually want the message to go in their ears and into their brain and into their heart. They like to hear pleasant things, like someone scratching their itch. And so what they do is look for teachers who will scratch that itch. And they don't look for teachers who will make them feel worse. But we all know this. If you have a serious physical problem, scratching and itching will not fix it. Right? What fixes it? Surgery. And guess what? Surgery hurts. But you know, surgery is for my good. That is the difference. That's what we do with the Word of God. We know it hurts at times. It challenges me, right? It sets a fire under me, but it's good. It's good. And I don't need all the shallowness. I don't need just a itch or a scratch. I need surgery. I need spiritual surgery at times to get me out of my pride and my selfishness. I need times that are challenging to me to stop treating my spouse horribly. I need those times, right? I need those times to stop treating my coworkers meanly, right? We need those times where the Word of God convicts us and challenges us. We don't just need a scratch or an itch. So these people want itches, not cuts. Pleasantries, not rebukes. And so what they do is they create these echo chambers for themselves, right? They find teachers who will say what they want them to hear, or who will say what they want to hear. And we see it's in accordance with their own sinful passions. Meaning, if they don't want preachers to preach on pride, they will find preachers who won't talk about pride. That's what they do, right? I don't want my sin talked about, so I'm going to find a preacher who doesn't talk about sin. That's what they do. And this is why we see so many preachers, they will not talk about sin, judgment, and hell, because people have accumulated them up. And here's the issue. When you gather teachers that say what you want to hear, you will not hear what you need to hear. If you only hear what you want to hear, you will not hear what you need to hear. And what you need to hear are things that sometimes convict you and challenge you. And say, hey, you're in sin and you need to repent. Hey, the way you're treating your child is not good. The way you're living your life is selfish. And people do not want to hear that because they want to be selfish. And so they will choose teachers and preachers who will say what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. And the result is disastrous. Look what Paul says. They turn away from the truth and wander off into myths. So because they have chosen to choose for themselves who they want to hear, they are moving away from the truth, and they are now following lies. following falsehoods. Their itchy ear syndrome has led them away from the truth. So get this. In order to avoid hearing unpleasant things, they have hurt themselves in the end, haven't they? They didn't want to feel that hurt in the beginning of, yes, it's convicting and it's challenging, but it's for my good. No, they didn't want to feel that, but it only led them to a worse situation away from the truth. And let me tell you, if you hear preaching that never steps on your toes, corrects you and rebukes you, beware. Beware. That's a clear red flag. Because the Word of God rebukes and corrects and reproves. And that's how you know. Now, as we think about this text, admittedly, this is primarily for someone like me who preaches the Word of God, right? And do it faithfully. But what about you? How can you benefit from passages like this? Because most of you are not up here preaching, right? So how can you benefit? Well, I want you to ponder this question. Do you see the importance of the preached word? Do you see the importance of the preached word? And so, of course, it's one thing that I need to be in, faithfully preaching the word, but it's also important for you to see its importance. Because I find that when people, let's say, let someone goes looking for a new church, they don't consider the importance of the Word of God faithfully preached. Is it faithfully preached? Because they just want their ears tickled. And so what do many people, when they look for a new church, well, the primary thing, do they have good music? Do they have all these programs? A lot of secondary items. But what if every Christian thought, but do they preach the Word? Do they do it faithfully? Or if a church is looking for a new pastor, do they ever use that question and they think about this candidate? Often it's not. Often it's about, well, does he have a charismatic personality? Well, is he like a CEO? Would he be good like a CEO of our church? Well, or do you think, no, does he preach the word faithfully? But how about when it comes to you personally? Do you desire to always sit under the Word of God faithfully preached? Or do you just want your ears tickled? Do you just want to feel good? Do you just want the pleasantries? Do you just want the shallowness so that you feel good with your life? Yes, you know, I like to live this way, and so I want to hear what I want to hear. Or do you say, no, I want God to mold me and shape me into the image of Christ. That is what I want. That's what we should desire. Not to be conformed in how we live, but to be conformed to Christ. That should be our goal. And so we must all, this passage really confronts me to, hey, preach the word faithfully, do it in these ways, but also as you can benefit from this is, do you see the importance of the Word of God? Do you see the importance of it preached? And the importance of it even in your personal life, of reading it every day? Because when we think about the Word of God, it is through the precious Word of God that we learn of Christ, the Son of God who took on flesh, and he came to reconcile us to God because we were in rebellion against him without hope in this world. And yet he died for us so that we could be forgiven and live. And he uses his word at times to correct us and discipline us. And he uses his word at times to encourage and uplift us. And it's all good because it comes from a good God who showed his utmost goodness in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, and I just pray that you would impress your word that we learned this morning upon our hearts. Mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. I pray that we would always remember the importance of your word, that at times, yes, it's hard to hear because it challenges us and convicts us. But Lord, help us to remember that it is always good because it is from you, Lord, who are a good God, and you do all things for our eternal good. And I just pray that we would always remember that and that we would always look to your word for life and growth and health that we need each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.